This is A Better Night's Sleep, a podcast about sleep, sleep disorders, and evidence-based treatment from military health sleep experts. I'm Dr. Julie Kinn with the Defense Health Agency.
And I'm Dr. Jonathan Olin, sleep medicine physician.
John, today we're going to be talking about prescription and non-prescription over-the-counter sleep medications. I've been really excited for this episode because these are some of the questions I've been hearing most as we've been preparing for this podcast series. Let's get started. What kinds of medication would you prescribe for a patient who comes in with insomnia?
Bottom line up front, there's no great single sleep med. And as we've mentioned many, many times before, it's the non-med treatments are frankly that are more evidence-based. And to clarify what I mean by evidence-based is if you give 100 people or 1,000 people the non-medication treatments and follow them over a period of weeks and give 100 or 1,000 people meds and look at who's doing better in 6 months and 12 months, in general, the non-med treatments are going to be doing better.
So to clarify, if I take an over-the-counter drug, it's going to help me sleep tonight, but it's not going to be so helpful 3 weeks, 3 months, or 6 months down the road.
Correct. So that was exactly a point, is that chronic insomnia or longer-term insomnia, which generally in the field is defined as insomnia for more than 90 days, then the over-the-counter meds are not particularly helpful. So yes, if a person receives bad news about a family member or is very anxious about, say, flying on an airplane, and they're going to take a sleep med, whether it's over-the-counter or prescribed, it may be useful or may be helpful for that one night. But then longer term, if the person has ongoing sleep disturbance, the med is not especially helpful in larger populations and longer term for people.
So is it actually dangerous for long-term use, or it's bad because essentially it stops working?
It's just not helpful. So people that are taking it for 1 month or 2 months are not sleeping better than they were initially or prior to starting the med. Yes, for the first week or 10 days, they may have some modest benefit.
And then that benefit wanes?
Correct.
Yeah, so it reminds me of our conversation last time about how we need to train our brains to engage in sleep and engage in getting tired. And if you're using these medications or alcohol, then you're skipping that sleep training.
Exactly. So those nerve centers or brain centers that I talked about that are sleep-inducing, that are tied to a clock, they're not learning their skills to be able to work at specific times. And the medications are obviously working diffusely throughout the whole brain. They're not targeting, oh, I'm going to the sleep onset area or sleep induction area. They're working diffusely. Alcohol is absorbed by the whole brain. You know, people's speech becomes slurred. Their motor skills become diminished. So we like sleep-specific treatments that are targeting those nerve cells. There's no single sleep med, especially over-the-counters, that are going to work on the sleep centers specifically. Some of the prescribed meds do work more on the sleep areas, and they, again, are useful, especially shorter term. But longer term, for if people are having insomnia for more than 90 days, there's really very little evidence that they're overall helpful. There have been many studies by the American College of Physicians, for example, by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine that have released what are called meta reviews, or looking at studies over, say, a decade. And overall, they say, hey, you know what? There's not a really good sleep med for chronic or longer-term insomnia. It's going to be the non-med treatments that should be initiated first. And then if one wants a med, review that carefully, hopefully lowest effective dose for briefest period of time.
So if I can summarize what we've talked about so far today, it sounds like sleep meds, prescription and non-prescription, are very helpful for short-term use, like if you need to get to sleep during a hospital stay, for example. But for longer term, even the prescription meds aren't so great.
Correct. And they should be used thoughtfully and at lowest effective dose. Correct. We don't have great sleep meds. Correct.
So as a patient, what questions should I ask my provider or my clinician when I'm talking about sleep meds?
Make sure that you're reviewing all your non-sleep meds and treatments. And we talked about CBTI, cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. So make sure that you're on track for that. And then look at what can be used for a briefer period of time, what has, for example, females, Ambien, Zolpidem, is a fairly commonly prescribed med. Females, more recently, it's been recommended by the FDA that they not take more than 5 milligrams. So you want to be careful about your dosing. I like non-sustained release or immediate release. Sometimes there are preparations that are mixed in wax or mixed in other materials, so they're more sustained release. But then, for example, for the Zolpidem, that can have implications for driving the following day.
Oh, wow.
I know treating insomnia is important, and I do have a number of people that I treat with meds. But in general, I'm emphasizing, let's make sure that we're on track with the non-med treatments, too. There are some people that are on it, and I prescribe it, but it's not a standalone treatment where I'm just saying, oh, forget about CBTI. Just make sure to keep taking the med.
Yeah, that makes sense. John, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about prescription or non-prescription medications?
Sure. The most common non-prescription med that's used for sleep is alcohol. And alcohol is actually significantly sleep disruptive.
How exactly?
So first of all, people take it, and yes, if they're intoxicated, they'll fall asleep a little faster. But if they were studied in an organized way, meaning in a sleep lab, we'd see that their sleep is actually fragmented.
What does that mean?
So people that are having insomnia, they may be tempted to drink, and yes, they will fall asleep or may fall asleep faster, but then we're going to see arousals during the night. So if they were in a sleep lab with electrodes on their scalp looking at brain waves of sleep, we'd see periodic arousals. Now, they wouldn't remember them. They wouldn't be able to, for example, during each one, wake up and tell us their name or their social or what time it is or the date, but we would not see consecutive, consistent, what's called nice sleep architecture. In addition, hey, as a guy anyway, or middle-aged guy, people have to get up at night and go use the bathroom, less so if you're a younger person. So it does fragment and disrupt sleep. So it's not a good long-term sleep med. So we don't prescribe that and dispense that over at the pharmacy. On the night that a person doesn't drink, they may have more insomnia because those sleep-inducing centers are going, hey, where's the alcohol? I'm used to alcohol at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Where is that?
Right.
It then becomes disrupted with waiting for alcohol. Again, not a good sleep med. If someone's going to have one beer or two beers on Monday night football and they sleep well, of course, that, you know, may be perfectly sensible and fine.
Thank you so much, John. I'm sure this probably answered a lot of questions and maybe raised some more.
Yep.
Fortunately, our listeners can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter at Military Health. Thank you for sending your questions and also checking out our other podcasts, websites, and mobile apps for the military community. They're helpful for civilians, too. Thank you also for rating and reviewing us on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. A Better Night's Sleep is produced by the Defense Health Agency. Join the Military Meditation Coach podcast to try a variety of meditation and relaxation exercises and engage in fitness for your mind. Each exercise is led by an expert in the military health system. The Military Meditation Coach podcast. Made for the military, but good for everyone.